Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, December 9th. I'm Josh Sexton of Brugler Marketing and Management, here with Alan Brugler. Alan, let's talk WASD today.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
The USDA reduced the U.S. corn export number from 1.8 billion bushels to 1.75 billion bushels in today's report.
I think corn needed to have the export number reduced because basically we're not keeping up with the forecast pace. If you look at USDA's export performance comparison as a percent of a year ago, we're behind. So they were just basically saying we're not getting it done, so let's recognize that fact and trim it back a little bit. The offset, of course, was they raised the ethanol consumption estimate.
Were Brazil and Argentina a factor in the trimming to the export number?
Yeah, there's a definite tail, if you will, of Brazilian export sales in particular. They're just much larger than previous years in November and expected to be again in December. And then with the election of Macri, the expected lifting of the tariffs, we think there'll be a bump of old crop exports of wheat and corn out of Argentina as well.
How do you think the corn market is viewing this report?
Yeah, the market's seeing a very neutral report. I think some people were surprised they made any changes in the December report. That's been not always the case that they did anything. So a lot of times they wait on the January numbers. So we rallied ahead of the report, a little bit of short covering, dropped down into the report itself, and then bounced back. So I think we're basically still looking to see, can we get the export sale stimulated, and is there something in South American production that moves the market?
The price of wheat was up shortly after the report, even with an increase in world-ending stocks to 229.86 million metric ton.
From a fundamental standpoint, it's a little surprising that the wheat price is up after they raised world-ending stocks above the trade average guess. But the thing you've got to remember is that the speculative funds have a historically large short position. This is an opportunity where there's some liquidity, some new people wanting to come in short because of the bearish news. It gives them a chance to buy back those positions. And if you have enough of that, you end up with a higher price for the day.
Were you surprised that the world-ending stocks estimate was higher?
I was a little surprised they went higher. The Canadian increase was well advertised. Stats Canada already put that out, and USDA does follow their number pretty religiously. We were expecting some offset out of either Europe or Australia that we just didn't really get as much as anticipated.
Do you have any comments on the soybean oil market?
Soybean oil market is basically buy the rumor, sell the fact. We were anticipating larger usage. We got a little bit of a bump up in the number. If anything, we're disappointed that they didn't go further with the expected consumption. The weaker dollar should be helping us here. But what's really different is soybeans had rallied 50 cents a bushel from their lows into last Friday. They're in a little different setup price-wise than the corn and beans, which have been under some pressure. So it's much easier to rationalize selling the beans than it is the corn and wheat.
What are your opinions on the report as a whole?
I think the report itself is pretty neutral. We're digging for the ahas buried deeper in the report than the main numbers, but the most bearish aspect of it is we didn't really find a way to ramp up export expectations, and that's the traditional way to get out of a surplus situation.
Now, is that all exports?
Yeah, primarily the U.S. corn, but again, the 465 million bushels of bean carryover is larger than we want, and 911 million bushels of wheat is burdensome.
Real quick, what's going on with the cattle market?
I think the biggest problem in cattle is not cool-related. It's that the beef price is still high historically relative to pork and poultry. The cattle hog spread is still historically high. The beef choice cutout versus pork cutout is still historically high. And so you're going to see beef underperforming relative to pork here until those spreads get a little closer to alignment. Because the practical implication is if they don't, consumer sees a big pricing discrepancy and buys more pork and more poultry. So cattle have their work cut out for them. The problem, of course, is we've got big negative closeouts, big losses for unhedged cattlemen, even at this price. And the market seeking a bottom to clear inventory doesn't help in that regard.
Lastly, do you have any hog comments this afternoon?
Basically, we're trying to figure out where the peak of the fall slaughter run is. It's normally in December, usually after Thanksgiving, and we're into that window. We need to see hogs stabilize in terms of the pork production before we can start looking for a turn in the cattle market. We are getting a little bit of short covering here today due to the weaker dollar and ideas that pork exports, which are already much better than beef, might even get a little better going forward.
Hey, thanks, Alan. We appreciate the comments.
You're welcome.
This has been Josh Sexton of Brugler Marketing and Management. From all of us here in Omaha, thanks for listening and have a great day.